a lot of grace, believers. First of all, I hope everybody understands the difference between, we'll just talk about the two that Mike talked about during this lesson, the difference between the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ. First of all, it's using different terminology, right? The gospel of God, the gospel of Christ. Now, a lot of grace believers are going to say, well, it's the same gospel message. It's just different terminology. And I find that so ironic because so often here, like if Millie was today to stay in the room and actually have a discussion about what she finds as to be nonsense about what Mike was teaching, you know, she's probably a covenant theologian. And a covenant theologian will tell you that, for example, the gospel of the kingdom, I think, I see several new Nicks in the room, so if you folks have any questions, please ask. But a covenant theologian will say that the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus Christ preached during his earthly ministry is the same thing as the gospel of the grace of God. It's just different terminology. It's all the same gospel. Well, you know, I find it ironic that grace believers say the same thing about the different terminology in the King James Bible between the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ. The King James Bible uses very, very precise language. It uses the different terminology because they are different gospel messages. Something that for me personally I find very, very profound is that the first sentence as it appears in the King James Bible, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, right, Mike? It's not the first sentence that Paul wrote chronologically, but it's the first sentence that Paul wrote as it appears in the King James Bible, contains the message of the gospel of God. Hi, Ruby. Welcome in. It's who Jesus Christ is. It's not the why of the cross. This is really, I can't narrow it down any more basic than this. The gospel of God is foundational. It tells us who Jesus Christ is. The gospel of Christ tells us the why of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The who and the why. The who is very important. The Son of God is the one that died for our sins. It wouldn't make much sense. I mean, that's what Paul had to reason with them out of the scriptures, out of the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures. He first had to convince those Jews and Greeks, Gentiles seeking the wisdom of God that were in the synagogue of the Jews on the Sabbath days, he had to first prove to them that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. He is the Son of God. And that's proven by the death, burial, and resurrection from the dead, according to the scriptures. So, and we today still, when we're dealing with a Muslim or a Jehovah's Witness, that's the first hurdle that we have to get over with them. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. They believe he's an angel or a prophet or something like that. So we today also have to convince people that Jesus Christ is God before we can present the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ. And then I'm sure as Mike progresses in this series of lessons, he's going to get into, and this is where the controversial part comes in, the difference between the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. And that is that's where the things get really murky for other grace believers. But I know that people like many of you have heard of a somewhat popular grace preacher and teacher, Rodney Ballou, and I'm sure I said his name wrong. Rodney Ballou up there in near the Canadian border. I forget what state he's in right now. It's Connecticut or somewhere up in there. He's got a very, at least one YouTube series on what the gospel, the difference between the gospel of God. He makes it the difference between the gospel of God and the gospel of the grace of God. I don't think yet he sees the difference between the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. But he definitely understands that the gospel of God is foundational. I also think Brian Ross does a series on what the gospel, the foundational gospel of God. Now, when I first learned this and was listening to the series of Bible studies done by Jim Bracken, what really stuck out for me was that the gospel of God is foundational. It's the foundation for both the gospel of the circumcision as well as the gospel of the uncircumcision. It's the foundation for the gospel of the kingdom, just as it's the foundation for both the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. The fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one who died for our sins is why that foundational message is so important. It wouldn't matter if Gary Walker died for your sins, now would it? Because he's not the Son of God. What matters is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one who died for our sins. Hey, Vaughn, welcome in. That's why that foundational message is so important. I mean, straight out of the chute, this is, I know Mike could have given you so many different other examples of Paul preaching the gospel of God. And so, you know, let me just straight off the bat in Acts chapter 9, this right here, if you understand Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, again, read them over and over and over again to get it clear in your mind what the gospel of God is. The Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, give you the name of the gospel, and it also gives you the content of the message. And straightway there in Damascus, this is Saul of Tarsus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he, Christ, is the Son of God. That's the gospel of God. That's the foundational message. Nothing about, yes, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why it kind of bothers me when people say, like Les Feldick, you know, the salvation message is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the way that Paul preached it, right? Because Peter preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, did he not? In Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, I guess Mike gave us some verses in 1 Peter, I think, chapter 3. But for different reasons. The resurrection, the different reason for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is real easy to show. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 give us a hint. Consider what I say, Paul writing, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And that all things is narrowed down to, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, according to Paul's my gospel, what's the reason for the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 4, verses 24 for context, and verse 25 for the meat and potatoes. Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So there's the reason for the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to Paul's my gospel, according to the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Also, that's the reason for the resurrection according to the gospel of the grace of God. Same salvation message. Now, what's the reason for the resurrection according to the gospel that Peter preached? We go to Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. Where is it? Verse 29. We'll come in at verse 29. Here's the reason for the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the gospel or good news message that Peter preached. And it says here, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. There's your context. David. That he, David, is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, David, and knowing God had sworn with an oath to him, David, that of the fruit of his, David's loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up or resurrect Christ to sit on his, David's throne. Do you see that? Do you see the difference in the reason for the resurrection of Jesus Christ between the two gospel messages that Peter and Paul preached? Now, Peter's reason for the resurrection of Jesus Christ fits with all of Old Testament prophecy. In fact, we can go to is it the archangel Michael? Gary, help me out. What angel was it here in Luke chapter 1 that was speaking with Mary, the mother of Jesus of Nazareth? Gabriel. Thank you. I always mess that up. Thanks, Gary. So let's just compare what Peter preached there in Acts chapter 2 after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with what Gabriel, the angel, said to Mary, the mother of Jesus of Nazareth, before his birth. And it fits like a glove. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, of his kingdom there shall be no end. So, Peter preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He preached the foundational gospel of God, but the salvational message that he preached was according to all of God's prophetic program in the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures, as well as what Christ preached during his earthly ministry, which is Old Testament doctrine. What Paul preached about the death, burial, and resurrection is according to the mystery revealed to Paul on the road to Damascus. So, any questions? Okay, Joyce, good to see you. Hope you got something from this. Check out the differences between the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ, and hopefully you understood those. A lot of people don't. Good night, Amy. It's your time, too. Good to see everybody again. And I'll get off the mic. Mike is getting ready to close the room. Good to see everybody. Yeah, just go to YouTube and Google Rodney Ballew and the Gospel of God. And I think he does one clear lesson where that is in the title. A lot of people that actually study on their own instead of just simply listening to other preachers and teachers will eventually see these differences. You know, Peter preached it. Peter mentions it. Peter preached the gospel of God, and Peter mentions the gospel of God in one of his epistles, right here. And 1 Peter chapter 4, and I think I need verses 17 and 18. So, if people think that did I get that right? And maybe 19. Maybe I needed 16. Oh, I need verse 16 too. So, it is, you know, if people begin to think that the gospel of God is the same as the gospel of Christ, which is the same as the gospel of the grace of God, but it's just different terminology, then if you read 1 Peter 4 verses 16 through 18, then it's real easy to make that next jump and put Peter into the church, the body of Christ. And that's just not the case. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, who is the us that Peter's writing to, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? So, another clear case of the gospel of God being preached is with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And I got my Bible out, but and was gonna try to show this in scripture. It's Acts chapter 8, and what verses is it? Acts chapter 8. You can read all about it, but what is it that the Ethiopian eunuch believed? Acts chapter 8, in order to be water baptized. Right. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And yes, it's water baptism. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And so what did the Ethiopian eunuch believe? And he answered, and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Who Jesus Christ is? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So, evidently, Philip, and the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah chapter 53 when Philip came upon him. And in Isaiah chapter 53, there are 12 verses. 12 verses in Isaiah chapter 53. All about a person. Who this person is. He, him, his. Now, we don't know who that person is, and neither did the Ethiopian eunuch. Where does it come in? Where are we? Verse 30. Okay, so Philip is evidently supernaturally transported out from Samaria out to where this Ethiopian eunuch is, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he, the eunuch, said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, and so on and so forth. And believe me, that's Isaiah chapter 53. And we know there's a person there. And then in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And so, evidently, Philip preached the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Christ. Evidently, Philip preached the same message that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent, change your mind about who Jesus Christ is. Repent, be water baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this eunuch was a Jew. A lot of people will say, well, he was a Gentile. But no, he was coming from Jerusalem where he was worshiping. You know, who would be coming from Jerusalem for a whole feast day or whatever, a holy day where they were worshiping? That would be a Jew. And so, the gospel of God was preached by Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. It was preached by Peter, James, John, the 12 apostles in the little flock after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was preached by Peter. It was preached by Philip. And it was preached by the apostle Paul. That is the gospel of God, who Jesus Christ is. Now, when this gospel was preached, no matter who preached it, some people believed that Jesus was the Christ, and some did not. Those that did believe, especially in Paul's ministry, those that believed the foundational gospel of God, that Jesus was the Christ, Well, then they were blessed to hear Paul preach the follow-up message, the gospel of Christ, the power of God and the salvation, the why of the cross. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and God the Father resurrected him for our justification. And then again, some people believe that, and others didn't. So this is what confuses a lot of people, especially about that group of believers in Corinth. You know, both Mike is going to cover that or has already covered it, but there was a mixed group there in Corinth.
No, I've covered that about 1 Corinthians, about the Corinthians, the mixed group in other lessons. I can't remember which one emphasized it the most. I think it was probably that Paul's mixed multitude. All these lessons are in the Trusted Speakers page. I think it's page 5 now at the website in the banner. And this will be posted. We'll have these up there. The ones in Gospel Misunderstandings are not up there yet. They're still in Recent Lessons page at the bottom of the first column at that Follow Christ Pattern web page.